Thank you, Dan. So we're going to jump into quiz time right away. But what are some things, and I guess I'm putting him on the spot too, but what are some things Dan prayed for? And I guess then my question with that is, what are things that we should pray for? His prayer, your prayer was great. And thankful for the avenue of prayer, right? So, and that's a great point. We have the ability to go to God in prayer. And I often think of this, and when someone gives you, you've probably heard me even say this, when someone were to give you a gift, what is the first thing you do? You say thank you, right? You thank them. You talk to them. Imagine if you, that whoever you're thinking of in your mind when they did that, if immediately when they did that, you just turned around, walked away, you took the gift, didn't say anything. How do you think that person, other person would feel? Insulting. Right. Horrible. Down. Not very good at all. And we thank God, and just as Dan did, for that avenue of prayer. We have the ability to do it. What else? I'll go there. The church, the Bible. Absolutely. What other things should we pray for? Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. The sick. Right? We often in our prayers mention the sick. And forgiveness. Right? Gene? Yeah. Good point, because we have the internet now, so we don't need... No, I'm kidding.
If you're doing the right thing.
Right. Well, and that's a great point. You're right, and oftentimes we don't pray for wisdom. And I jokingly said the internet, because I think a lot of times that's where people go to get their information, to get their wisdom. And you're right. And the one thing, Jeannie, when you said that, I was thinking of this the other day, because I actually... preached this topic at Waco this past Sunday. And the one thing we discussed in the class, too, was the fact that oftentimes our prayer is maybe when times are bad, and that's when we go to prayer, but maybe when we need to make decisions, when we need that wisdom, when we need to figure out what do I do, where do I go for guidance. Oftentimes with financial help, maybe you have a financial advisor. Or maybe the internet can be great for things at times. When you need to, maybe a certain topic, well, you're not feeling well. We usually go to a doctor. When we need to make a major decision, though, do we go to God in prayer for that wisdom, for making that decision, for help with it? Because we have to make tough decisions in our life. So I guess when I'm starting out here, there are so many things. I could keep going the entire time and fill it up with the fact that we could all give different reasons for prayer. And how often should we pray?
Daily, hourly,
right? Right, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Now, again, does that mean that we never, ever stop? We're just constantly in prayer? No. And we all know that. But what does it mean? Again, just as you've said here, we pray daily, we pray hourly. How many times, don't raise your hand, don't answer this question, how many times have you prayed this week so far? And I'm going to say not even counting this past Sunday. So put your number in your head and think of it, how many times you've done that. And then at the same time, think of that if the only time that is when I enter these doors, whatever congregation I'm at, and I pray there, but that's it. How many times have you talked to, again, someone, like I said, gave you a gift, a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, a family member? Do you go all week without saying a single word? I'm sure everyone talks to somebody, but imagine if you could go a week without saying a word at all, what that would be like. Sam?
So many people think you to pray you have to verbalize. You can't just think off your head.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Good point. Right. And again, then it goes back to what are the thoughts in our head, too. And I'm going to come back to that in just a few minutes. Hopefully we get to there and talk about some of those things. So we need to think in our prayer. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. One of the things, too, that I saw recently, obviously we all know of the war that's going on in Ukraine with Russia, and there were several soldiers at one point that they showed, and I believe some civilians in there, too, that were praying with what was going on. And we think, and this just brings me back to the point of where when you think your life is bad, when you think your life's horrible and terrible, and in times it is, but I think I was thinking of these people that their whole world was literally being destroyed, was crashing down, and they're praying. They're kneeling, and they were praying in this. And it just makes I think, all of us think that how important it is. And I can't get to everything in prayer tonight, but I wanted to discuss some things. But look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to start at, verse 10. We read, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, when we get into verse 18, it says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So we see when Paul's talking to the Ephesians here, and early on in verse 10, beginning, we talk about that whole armor of God and all those things that we must put on ourselves. And again, thinking of those soldiers when they're going into war and they're in the battle, they're not wearing, for the most part, most of the time, their street clothes. They're in some type of garments, protection. We think of, again, police officers when they have body armor on, these soldiers. So they're preparing for something, correct? They want to be ready. They know that there's danger involved in there. One of the most dangerous calls I know for police officers to go on are domestic violence calls. And many are shot and killed, unfortunately. So what do you think they do before they go into maybe a residence where there's a call for domestic violence? They put on body armor. They're prepared. They're ready. They know that there's likely, statistically at least, a danger that's going to be involved in there. So they prepare themselves. They get ready. And again, what about us as Christians? Are we praying? Are we putting that same armor? And I was thinking about that. And again, in verse 18, where it says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints." There's a lot of descriptive words in here, and it talks about persevering, praying. It means something. It should be something in there, that we look at it as something that's more than just empty words. And unfortunately, when I asked earlier, again, what's the number in your head? How many times do we pray when we're not here in the assembly? What are we doing otherwise than with the time? I just completely lost a train of thought here when I was going with that. But when we're only praying when we get here, what does that show about the perseverance of that prayer? Does it show it?
Weak faith.
Weak faith, yeah, absolutely. I think about, again, athletes. What do athletes do before any type of sporting event, any game? What are they doing before that day of the game?
Preparing.
They're getting ready. And then when that time comes, do they just run out onto the field and just say, "Coach, whatever you need me to do, I haven't practiced at all, but I'm here today to run that play for you. Matt, go ahead. Right.
We gotta keep alert. So many people think, especially in the world, who are like pseudo religious people, that they think when they pray, I'm just gonna leave it up to God. I hear that so much. I'm just gonna leave it in the hands of God, which I to a point yet.
Sure.
As if they have to do nothing. And that's for sure. We still have our own thing to do.
Right, absolutely, and that's a good point. And the other part of that, too, I think, is it's our prayer isn't just empty words, that we're not just repeating the things. And I think, again, when he talks in here about, like you said, too, keep alert with all perseverance, being ready for all the things that are going to come, being prepared. Are there any problems in the world today that we need to be ready for? I'll talk about a couple of those in just a second, too. Gary?
I heard a preacher once talk about that.
Right.
And so the rest of the time it's, you know, whatever.
But like you said too, that's an idol. And what does it really mean to them in there?
Right.
Which, so I'm going to go back and Dan, I'm going to use you again because I appreciate your prayer. What were we doing when Dan was leading us in prayer? Right. And what are we doing though at that time too? Praying. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And I think we all absolutely get that. We know that. And when he's leading us in prayer, we're also not just, and this isn't you, I'm not, how long until Dan's done? Is it going to be a short one? Is it a long one? No, absolutely not. We shouldn't be. I don't believe anyone is, and hopefully we're not. But we're also in prayer at that time, which then it begs all of us the question, how important then is prayer to us? So again, when I started earlier, I talked about these soldiers were out in the field and they were praying. And we think of the importance of the weapons that are to them. And what about us as Christians? We think about the warfare that all of us are involved in today. Are we on the battlefield? Are we out in the field right now with a rifle going to fight someone? No, and hopefully not. But what's our battlefield? I'm sorry? The Word of God. Yeah, that's our weapons. But where are we fighting at today? Yeah, the world, absolutely. And unfortunately, there's not a single day that goes by where there's not something that we have to fight. And I was actually saving this for part of the invitation, but... So you might hear some of these things again. What happened with the Supreme Court in the last couple of days that has stirred up so many people? Yeah, Roe versus Wade, the abortion issue. And I was looking this up, and I want to, because again, I think this talks to where we're at in the mindset, not just our nation, but as a world. But this is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and I just want to read this because this is where our world is at, and this is where the thinking of it is. So I'm not here just to read a political statement or anything, but it says, if the report is accurate, the Supreme Court is poised to inflict the greatest restriction of rights in the past 50 years, not just on women, but on all Americans. It says that the Republican-appointed justices' reported votes to overturn Roe versus Wade would go down as an abomination. That was Chuck Schumer. I actually saw him saying that. Again, the Republican-appointed justices' reported votes to overturn Roe versus Wade would go down as an abomination, one of the worst and most damaging decisions in modern history. Absolutely. And again, but that's the point, is that's where we're at, that's the norm. The normal is that, well, abortion, you have your right as women to be able to kill another human being. I'll go on. I don't want to belabor this too much, but several of these conservative justices who are in no way accountable to the American people have lied to the U.S. Senate, ripped up the Constitution to violate both President and Supreme Court's reputation, and all the expenses of tens of millions of women who could soon be stripped of their bodily autonomy and the constitutional rights they've relied on for half a century. I'm not here to talk about Republican versus Democrat, and please don't take that anyway, but I'm talking about life and death and what's against God's word in this. And people are okay with the fact of taking life because it's their right, it's their body. And I've heard different things of what they construe a life or a baby as. And the point, and I guess what I'm trying to use with that is, there's so much warfare going on out there in our world that were we battling these things 50 years ago? 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even?
They talk about it being an abomination, but is it murder an abomination to God?
Absolutely.
And look at the millions of babies that have been aborted over the years. They talk about women's rights.
Right. And again, there are so many things I think we can get into with that. And I heard someone recently talking to an audience and asking, well, when does a baby become life? And they say, not until it's born and life is there, which again goes to the amazement of what, like you said, what are we calling an abomination today? Is not abortion an abomination? But we're... Absolutely. No, and they won't. And that's the funny part of it, too. Gary.
Did you hear that? I heard that yesterday, I think, that America leads the world in abortion.
Right, I'd say both of them.
But more than China.
Yeah, it's funny that again, we're known, or anyone in the world's known for murder, but we don't call it murder. We don't say that that's what it is. Bark. Yeah, and does it, I don't want to say it doesn't surprise or shock anyone, but I don't think these things really do that anymore. And again, we can go on. There's the, I know it's everyone's calls of the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida too, but it's funny how we're okay with offering up an abomination to children and telling children hey, it's okay, you're born a woman, go ahead and be a man, or vice versa. And we can go on because there's so many different things. And where does it end and what are we doing about it? So I guess my point with bringing up this and bringing up these things is that we are engaged in warfare. And we can't just sit here and think that, well, that's happening over in Europe. That's happening in Ukraine. There's nothing going on here. Because imagine this. Imagine if none of those soldiers did anything, what would happen then at that point? We get it. We understand that. Just like, remember I always use the analogy of, if I don't show up to work, something's going to happen, right? I can't just sit at home and think it's wonderful to be at work because that's where my mind's at right now. Usually our mind's not at work. But we know we're going to lose our job or something's bad's going to happen. So if we just sit here and we don't do anything, and remember I said this is the only time we pray, how are we fighting against these things? Are we praying for it? There was another hand in the back. Paul, was that you? Yeah, please.
Well, as far as the Roe versus Wade, even if it's overturned, all that means is it's going to send it back to the states. Each state's going to have to vote on abortion. And there's going to be some states that's going to allow, like New York and California, Illinois, and Massachusetts, that
Right.
It's different state, and some states are going to have different rules on abortion, which they should.
Right. So none of these things are going to get any better if we don't do anything. And by doing some, people always say, well, there's nothing I can do. What can I do about it? What about praying? How often do we pray? Again, think of that number in your head, as I said earlier. How many times have I prayed this week already? And I'm not here to take your numbers and figure it out and tell you where you should be, but we should all know that, and you should know that too. Because these things are not going to end. Those are only going to get worse because part of the reason we don't go to God. We don't look to God. And I completely forgot. I think three times in the last couple of days, I kept saying, I need to look this up. There was a teacher, and I could have this wrong. I think it was in Texas, and he would pray after every game. He didn't tell anyone they had to, and he would get down and kneel in prayer. And he was fired from his job, and I believe he is or was being sued. I could have some of this wrong, but I meant to look it up and talk about that because, again, we look at someone doing something positive, someone going to prayer, not doing nothing except for his human right, and then his what God would will and have him to do, and he's being punished for it. Taylor. Right, because obviously in your mind, in yours and Jake's mind, is Abner, as he's growing up. And what's going to be the world, what will the world be like then, when he's older? And very good, too, because you passed the first part of the quiz where Dan did pray for the future of the church. Absolutely. And again, how often are we doing that? And is God the first place we go to? Again, in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, when it says, with all prayer, and there's different in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have different, postures that are mentioned in prayer, and the Bible doesn't prescribe one or say, well, you have to do this. And again, I talked about this Sunday, both in my lesson and in the class. Well, remember, Christ prayed while standing, while sitting, while kneeling, possibly other positions as well. And as Brother Sam said too, you know, maybe it's not always the words coming out. What's in our thoughts? What's in our mind? How are we going to God in prayer? We can pray all the time. Again, pray without ceasing. No matter what. And the only thing too, with we talk about our posture in prayer, there's nothing wrong with standing. There's nothing wrong with kneeling. I prefer, you know, maybe being lower. But, and the only time I ever had a problem, and I actually approached a brother one time, was when they actually said, we have to stand. And that's out of respect. And then at that time, we actually had members who could not stand at all. But there are different ways, but there's no prescribed way what we should be doing. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, we read that, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray. Everywhere we are at, everywhere in our life, is a place to pray. And again, I wish I had that story of this gentleman who was praying after the games, because when they told him to stop praying, and I don't know his background, I don't know any much of anything about him. I saw this story and I wanted to learn more. But there's always opportunity for us. Now, if someone told you to stop, would you stop? Again, that's a decision we have to make. And depending on your translation, too, again, when you look at this, I always like these words, this with all prayer. And again, supplication may be in there, too. We talk about that. And it also says at all times. We mentioned earlier, too, when Matt talked as well, at all times. even the Jews in Paul's day had prescribed times when they were praying, when they were doing it. In Luke 21 and verse 36, likewise here, it says, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." But again, I want to emphasize here to keep alert. Obviously, what was going on with Christ at this time, it was kind of specific to that. But keep alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. Are we, and earlier, and Matt, you talked about this too, in our prayer, when, in all perseverance and being alert and being ready and thinking and what's going on in our world today and all, there's a lot of stuff going on. Are we ready? Are we alert? Are we standing by with it? And I said earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, do we pray without ceasing? Well, what was going on in the early church in Acts 2 and verse 42? Right? And what does it, what does Luke tell them, tell us at the early church there? What were they doing as far as prayer? They were devoting themselves continually in prayer. And again, this falls, I keep coming back to this, but it falls back to the point of, can we say ourselves that we're continually devoting ourselves to prayer? There's kind of a couple things there. Continually doing it, pray without ceasing, and devoting ourselves to it. What does it mean to you to devote yourself to something? Put everything in. Going back to an athlete, if an athlete wants to get better at something, what does he have to do? Train, right? They kind of devote themselves, sometimes in an overly zealous way, in a scary way, but to devote themselves to it. And why? Why would you need to devote yourself to prayer, Sarah? Right.
And I think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice because we think of prayer as what we do before meals, what we do before we go to bed at night, what we do in services. You know, like we have these a lot of times in our minds
yeah.
that we, you know, pray. And if we don't do those times, then it seems to fall by the wayside. But that's when it gets monotonous, at least in my opinion, is when, you know, the only time I'm praying is those specific times. And, you know, I feel like praying without ceasing is almost being in a constant state of talking to God, where like all day long, you know, and I don't want it to be frivolous, and I think sometimes we can make other people feel guilty because, you know, they have to be prostrate or, you know, humble or whatever to be praying, but, you know, 100 times a day am I talking to God in just everything I'm doing, like thinking about the fact that He's there, part of my day, whatever.
Right. Right.
I mean, like, it's hard to fall into a part of your life where you're struggling or losing your faith when every single day you're talking to God. You know, like, I might not sit down and say a prayer before I get in my car sometimes, but I can tell you a lot of times when I'm driving, please let me get there safely. You know what I mean?
Right.
Does that not count as a prayer?
Absolutely.
That praying without ceasing?
Absolutely. And that's a great point. It's in everything that we're doing. No matter what, and you said every day. Not that it's the same thing, but if you imagine, again, I talked about athletes, someone training each and every day, and they're doing it, well, then they get hurt, and then sometimes it's hard for them to get back into it. And why? Why is that? Because that's, yeah.
It's something you should be doing all the time. And
right.
It's a state of mind. And it's like I
right.
said, any time in my life where I'm struggling, I'm not going to stop and talk to God when I'm in the midst of thinking something I shouldn't or doing something I shouldn't. You know, it's just you pull away from that action.
Absolutely. And while you were saying that, I just looked up in Matthew 6 and in verse 5, starting talking about bondservants and masters. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. And again, are we doing it for the purpose, for the right purpose? Is our heart right in it? And not just a vain repetition, not just saying it because this is what we do. And I think, again, that's the problem that maybe we get into. So what do we do on Sunday mornings? I used this recently too, but what do we do on Sunday mornings? What do we do on Sunday evenings? What are we doing on Wednesday? It's almost muscle memory that we're doing it. And we have to be careful of that, because to me then that isn't continually devoting ourselves. What's in my mindset when I pray? Again, Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 3 prayed night and day in there. Now obviously it's not talking, like I said earlier, that we don't just stop. We're in a continuous prayer without anything else. But everything in life we're doing. Go ahead, Matt. Right. Right. Absolutely. In everything, whether things are good, whether things are bad, whether we need direction, whether we need God's help in everything, and he should be leading the way and us going to him. Absolutely. So we should pray at all times. And I was just, what's the verse? I can't think of the offhand. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. Obviously, it's not talking about us running a physical race at that point. The same thing there. We should be praying at all times. When we're tempted, do we go to God for help? When we see something good, we see something's beautiful, do we go to God in prayer during that time too? When we see those evils, when we talk about the abortion that's going on in our country with who gets to use what bathroom again in our country. When we know somebody who's not a believer, when we talk to somebody, do we pray for them? Again, we have that opportunity to do that for here. Do we pray at all times and set our minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth, Colossians 3 and verse 2. What are we thinking about? What's the goal and what are we trying to achieve in our life? Sam, go ahead. Absolutely. And again, just as I said earlier, if we don't go and we don't talk, if no one talks to you tonight at all, if no one said a word to you, how would you feel? Okay. Well, but here right now, we're going to talk to you and make sure. No, absolutely. Paul even talked to the Colossians Colossians 4 and verse 2, to devote yourselves to prayer, to be watchful and thankful. Again, devoting ourselves to it. If this is the only time when someone's leading you in prayer that you're praying, is that in any way devoting yourself to it? Do we think God would be okay in thinking that that's a devotion there? Yeah. Vain repetition. Who can help me with this in divine vain repetition?
Repeating.
Yeah, repeating something. So one thing. Absolutely. So we do repeat a lot of things, and a lot of times I think when you talk about something that it's vain in there, that you're more concerned with what you're saying. I often think of big words. The one thing I thought of, and I can't remember if it was Don not too long ago or talked about it too, we're talking about repetition. Could have been Bob, but how many times do you pray about your humble abode? And that's just a repetition, maybe not so much as vain in there, but who walks around saying, my humble abode? Where are you going after work? Well, I'm heading to my humble abode or my abode. I'm not trying to make fun of anyone, because a lot of times we say things because we just repeat, and we're saying the same thing too, Sam. Right. And it's almost as if we're just trying to fill the time or fill words with it. Because I often think too, how long does our prayer need to be? And I'm not saying there are long prayers, and I'm not saying they're wrong at all. There are very short prayers. They're not wrong. For the sake of time, I don't have too much time to get it. I'll leave the rest. I have the invitation here actually coming up too. But yeah, it's in Genie with more time, and you're right, there should be a lesson on that as well. But are we saying things just to fill time, just so God will hear me for my many words and my great words? And how many times have you heard words? Again, I used humble abode, but does that mean things to some of the kids that are walking out now too, when you say an abode in there? There's so many other things I could talk about too in prayer, but our time is up for today. But thank you for your attention, your questions, and your comments.